May 24th, 2013, Soho, London, UK, Nisingadev's Appearance Day.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So we're going to do a meditation on Nisingadev, and when do we go to? Where is our eminent leader? When do we stop?
Mic isn't working?
No. Live and rolling. Okay, very good. So we're going to focus tonight on friends and enemies. I'd like all of you to think for a moment. In the last day, in the last week, in the last month, how much of your time and energy and anxiety did you spend on maintaining friendships and protecting against enemies? Think about that energy, that thought, that care that we're putting into that. Maybe somebody's saying this about me. Maybe somebody's going to do this. What about that? Suppose you had that energy for spiritual joy instead. Prahlad Maharaj says, do not discriminate in your heart between enemies and friends. Make your mind equipoised toward everyone except for the uncontrolled mind. Uncontrolled and misguided mind, there is no enemy within this world. If a person is victorious over the six inner enemies, lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and jealousy, and is equipoised towards all living entities, for him, there are no enemies. Enemies are merely imagined by one in ignorance. So this story starts with asking whether God has enemies. Is God partial? Why does it appear that he sides with the righteous, paritranaya sadunam vinashaya tadushkacham, and destroy the evil? And the answer given is that everything is ruled by the time factor, and the time factor favors sattva guna. A sattva, it's possible to get some water through this crowd? Is that possible? You have to press it hand to hand, right? Sattva means, what does sattva mean? Good, that which is good. Now, is it partial to favor that which is good? Is that partial?
No.
To have a universe where if things are good, they work better than if things are bad? Is that partiality? No. Sattva also means truth. So basically what this means is God is neutral, but if you do things that are true, they work better than if you do things that are false. That's just called common sense. Like we have a door there and a door there. I suppose you say, I want to walk through the wall. Will you get hurt? Yes. Is that the partiality of the architect? Is that the partiality of the builder? Did they say, you know, we're going to put a wall here to hurt you? No. So God is impartial, but the universe favors one who acts in accord with how the universe is created. You know? Well, the universe favors those who walk through the walls and walk through the doors and hang their pictures on the walls. If you try to hang your pictures on the doors and walk through the walls, you're going to suffer. But that's not partiality. That's not friends and enemies mentality. And we can ask, is there really such a thing? Does it really exist that there are certain people who help us and oppose us? Maybe there's another truth. So we're going to tell the story now of a man who saw the world in terms of friends and enemies. In fact, he saw, thank you, he saw enemies everywhere. And his son had no conceptions of friends and enemies. Long, long ago. Lord Vishnu incarnated to destroy Hiranyakashipu. Now the story really begins with the incarnation of the Lord as Varaha, who killed Hiranyaka. And Hiranyaka had been drilling in the earth for oil, and he upset the balance of the earth, and it fell out of its orbit. and he was harassing all the living entities on the planet, and he challenged the Lord who killed him. And then Hiranyakashipu said, "He killed my brother. Therefore, he is my enemy." He didn't see that what the Lord was doing was reestablishing truth. And then Hiranyakashipu told all of his followers, "Go throughout the universe, especially on the earth. Cut down the trees which give life to everyone. Kill the cows which give milk. Destroy the sacrifices. Destroy religion." Just like in Europe at the end of World War II. So I was recently in Hungary, and the Hungarians were telling me that when the Nazis took over Hungary, they kept everything very nice because they wanted to enjoy it. But when the Russians were coming in, when the Allies were coming in to throw out the Axis powers, that then the Nazis destroyed Hungary because they didn't want anything to be there for the Allies to enjoy. So Hiranyakashipu did this to the whole Earth planet. He destroyed everything, polluted the Earth, cut down the trees, destroyed all the food, destroyed all the water, stopped all of religion. He did this not only on the earth, but throughout the universe. And then he decided, while this havoc was going on, that he wanted to make sure that Lord Vishnu, and nobody else either, would be able to kill him. So he went and did austerities for 125 celestial years. So, you know, we think about persons who cause trouble on the earth for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. He caused trouble on the earth for 125 years of the demigods. And one day of the demigods is equal to one of our years. Okay, folks, with your mobile phones, you can use mobile phones if the sounds that your phone makes matches the point of the story. And if you can't do that, then you have to put it on vibrate. And if you don't know how to put it on vibrate, please ask your neighbor and they'll show you. Thank you. Please take your phone, put it on vibrate. If you don't know how to do that, just tap the person next to you and say, "Please show me how to put my phone on vibrate." Thank you very much. So all these 125 celestial years, all these this destruction and devastation, I mean, you take now what's being done on the earth and multiply that by a few thousand times. And that was going on for 125 celestial years. So Hiranyakashipu's austerities were disturbing the universe. And so Lord Brahma came to see him, and I think one of the funniest things in the Bhagavatam is that Lord Brahma says to him, "What would you like?" He says, "Although you are going to die, I'll give you a benediction." He says right in the verse. You can go look it up. He says, "My dear Hiranyakashipu, you who are going to die, what would you like? I'll give you whatever you like." So Hiranyakashipu says, "I want powers. I want all the mystic powers." All the mystic powers means if I want something, I want a mango, and I just, choop, there you go. I want a BMW, yep, there it is. Right? I want to fly in the sky. I want to become invisible. I want to, you know, whatever. I want to create planets, destroy planets, and I want rulership over the universe, he said. And I want no rivals. In other words, I want no enemies. I want to have no enemies. I want nobody who can be my enemy. And, all right, you said I have to die, but I'm going to be cleverer than you, he thought. I don't want to die from anything living or non-living. I don't want to die on the inside or the outside, the day or the night, the ground or the sky, from a human, from an animal, from a demigod, from a demon, or from any weapon. And he thought, I've outsmarted Brahma. If any of you are familiar with Shakespeare, any of you familiar with Macbeth? Anybody familiar with Macbeth? So Shakespeare there has a little bit of a similar plot where Macbeth is told, you will only die when the forest walks up to the castle, and you cannot be killed by any man born of a woman. So he thought, I'm immortal. Of course, near the end of the story, the opposing soldiers cut off branches of trees and hold them in front of them as camouflage and walk to the castle, and Macbeth's associate comes and says, oh, The forest is walking up to the castle. And when he's in his final battle with his chief adversary, Macduff, he says, "You fight me, Macduff. I can't be killed by any man born of a woman." And he said, "I was from my mother's womb untimely ripped." And then Macbeth dies. So Shakespeare had the same concept of somebody being given benedictions which appeared to them to be infallible, but actually were fallible. So all of us in this world think that we become infallible in so many ways. We become infallible with our life insurance policy and our burglar alarm and our loving families and our loving friends and our degree that's hanging on our wall and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But we don't see that you can have your benedictions, but you will die. So after getting his boons, Hiranyakashipu went to the heavenly planets and conquered them. In fact, he conquered every part of the universe. He forced the demigods to worship him, that he became the chief person in the universe. Now, it's interesting that although Hiranyakashipu got everything that he wanted, he had two interesting bits of behaviors here. First of all, he would chastise the demigods very severely for no reason, and he was always intoxicated. Now, if somebody is yelling at others severely for no reason, what would you say about that person? They must be very what?
Mad.
Disturbed. Disturbed. What else?
Crazy.
What else?
Unfair.
Huh?
Unfair.
What else?
Frustrated.
Do happy people do this?
No.
Do happy people yell at others very severely for no reason all the time?
No.
Is that what happy people do? Do happy people get intoxicated all the time?
No.
If you're happy, you don't need to get intoxicated. You're already happy. Yes?
Yeah.
So isn't it interesting that Hiranyakashipu had everything and yet he had these symptoms of being unhappy? Who was his real enemy?
Himself.
His real enemy was himself. He thought he'd conquered all of his enemies and he was still miserable. How interesting. And you see this in the world in general. A person gets wealth and fame and, right? Are all of the wealthy, famous, beautiful, smart people, are they all happy? 100% of them, are they happy? 90% even? No. Every day, look at the news, some other beautiful, rich, famous person is always drunk or yelling at people for no reason or something. Yes?
Yes.
So why do we buy the line that if you want to be happy in this world, just become rich and famous and smart and beautiful? Why do we believe that? Why do we think that's an accurate map to success and fulfillment? I want success. I want fulfillment. I want value. Here's the map. Get a good education, make a lot of money, have a big house, have a beautiful family. And we see other people, they followed the map, but they didn't get there. Why don't we say, hey, there's something wrong with the map? So Hiranyakashipu, of course, didn't figure out there was something wrong with his map. Now, meanwhile, when Hiranyakashipu was performing austerities, his wife Kayadu, who was pregnant, ended up taking shelter at the ashram of Narada Muni. And there, Narada Muni spoke to her about bhakti. Now, the child in the womb, Prahlad, he was listening. There's even a lot of evidence today, if you want your child to be good in mathematics, read mathematical textbooks when you're pregnant. I mean, actually, seriously. So Prahlad was listening, but his mother wasn't listening. Just like maybe some of you aren't listening, I don't know. Maybe some of you are thinking, when's the feast? Or I had a big fight with my wife this morning. Is she still angry with me? Or one of my investments isn't working out too well. When am I going to be able to get online so I can check what's going on with it? You know, and then you're not really here. So Kayadu wasn't really there. You know why she wasn't really there? Because she's just thinking, how's my husband, how's he doing? He's doing all these austerities, how long is it going to take? Is he going to come back? When's he going to come back? I don't want to have my baby till he comes back. I want him to be there when I have my baby. Is he going to be there? Am I going to be able to hold on to this pregnancy long enough for him to come back? Where's my husband? And Narada Muni's talking to her about the absolute truth, and she's not listening. So she didn't remember. She can't remember, but Prahlad did. Then Prahlad got sent to school. This is from a drama we did with our... you saw the drama here. This is from one of our dramas. And he went to school with the other little demon children and with his teachers, Sanda and Amarka. And then his father said, "My dear son, what did you learn in school?" And he said, "My dear father, all of your material attachments is just like a blind well that you fall in and you can't get out. Why don't you give up all your worldly attachments and just serve Vishnu? Go to the forest," which Prabhupada says means go to Vrindavan. "Go to the forest and just serve the Lord." "The what? Serve my enemy? Serve the one who killed my brother? I am the Lord. What's wrong with you guys in the school anyway? What are you teaching my boy? Don't let any Vaishnavas come in disguise." Prabhupada says there in the purport, "Therefore, the devotees sometimes have to dress in other ways to go out and distribute books." Prahlad Maharaj, upon hearing this from his father, said, "Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose external energy has created the distinctions of my friend and my enemy by diluting the intelligence of men. Indeed, I am now actually experiencing this, although I have previously heard of it from authoritative sources." So Narada Muni told him, you know, people think in terms of friends and enemies. And now he thought, wow, my father's one of those people. He thinks that someone's his enemy. And he thinks I'm his enemy. How amazing. And actually, neither Lord Vishnu nor I have any desire to hurt him. How amazing is this illusion? So he went back to school, and there the teachers also were just talking about friends and enemies, how to make political alliances, right, and how to defeat your enemies. This is the main mentality of the materialistic person. So much wealth do I have today, and I will gain more according to my schemes. He is his enemy. He is my enemy, and I have killed him, and I will kill my other enemies, and thus I will enjoy more and more. Of course, I would assume that none of us have literally killed our enemies, I hope. But I'm sure that's all right. Even if you have, if you chant Hare Krishna, it will all be okay in the end. But I think what we try to do is a kind of killing of our enemies, huh? We try to neutralize our enemies in some way. So if somebody opposes us or is trying to harm us in our illusory conception of the world, we think, let me do something so they can't hurt me anymore. And if we're really bad, we think, let me hurt them so they won't hurt me anymore. So we either just try to neutralize them or we try to harm them. We tell other people something bad about them. Well, you know, I mean, I don't know if I should tell you this. I probably shouldn't. But, you know, really, did you know? No, it's not really important. Right? We try to do something, somehow or other, so that person loses their power to harm us, even if we don't literally shoot them. So this is materialistic mentality. I have gotten rid of all these enemies, I will get rid of more, and thus I will enjoy. That was Hiranyakashipu's mentality, and Prahlad didn't like this. He didn't like in school. They're always talking about friends and enemies. Then his father said, "Come see me again. Tell me what's going on in school." And Prahlad said, "Shravanam kirtanam smaranabandhanam padasevanam dasyare bhujana sakijana atmanivedana govindadasa bilasa." Okay? Of course, he didn't sing Govindadasa song, but he sang the nine processes of devotional service. He said, "My dear father, the best thing that I've learned from my teachers," because he was counting Narada Muni as one of his teachers. Pretty sneaky, huh? His father says, "What's the best thing you've learned from your teachers?" He thought, "Well, Narada is my real teacher." He said, "You should hear about Krishna. You should chant about Krishna. You should remember Krishna." Do you think his father liked that very much? Just imagine if there's someone you really don't like in your life. I assume everybody has at least one of them. And I came to you and I said, "You should just hear all about that person and talk about that person and just remember that person, be absorbed in thoughts of that person and serve that person." You might yell at me. and tell me to get out. So that's exactly what Hirani Kashyapu did, except he went a little further than just saying get out. This was enough for him. So one time Prahlad preaching to him, he sent him back to school. Second time he said, we have to kill him. Yes, he's my son, but you're willing to amputate your own limb if it's causing you disease. Yes? If you've got some disease in your arm, you can be your right arm, and still you would cut it off to save your body. So this child is going to destroy everything. So he engaged the demons. Chop him up. Pierce him. Jindi, bindi, chop him up. Pierce. And they tried with all of their sharp weapons. Little boy, five-year-old boy. So here Hiranyakashipu is the first child abuser in the universe. Unfortunately, there was no child protection organization at the time to report him to. Because he ran the whole police force. Now, what are you going to do if the person abusing you is your protector? That's a little difficult, isn't it? Huh? If the very person who's abusing you is the person who's supposed to take care of you. And Hiranyakashipu is his father. And he's running the universe. What could Prahlad do? So there was nothing externally he could do. Who was he going to go to? The little boy. So he just meditated on Krishna. Prahlad is famous for smaranam, or remembering Krishna. So he just meditated on Krishna. He wasn't hurt. Now, if you meditate on Krishna, there's no guarantee, my dear friends, that you won't get hurt. You're not promising that. But there is a guarantee that you will not feel the hurt, that you'll be on another platform. They tried to throw him off a cliff. That would make the newspapers today, right? Father throws son off cliff. Put him under a mad elephant. We don't really know what mad elephants are, but male elephants have a period where they go into heat. Generally, only female animals go into heat, but male elephants also go into heat. It's irregular. And when they do, they forget all their training, and they destroy anything. And if it's a young bull elephant, even the big bull elephants will get out of the way for the young. If the young bull is mad. But they generally do, people who work with elephants, what they generally do is as soon as they see the first signs, they stop all food and water, and it stops the biochemical process. But in the time that the Bhagavatam was written, people were very familiar with mad elephants because they lived in a society with elephants. So anyway, Hiranyakashipu took one of these maddened elephants and asked him to step on Prahlad, and Prahlad was remembering Krishna. He was not hurt. And he put him in a pit of poisonous snakes. But Prahlad was simply remembering Krishna and was not hurt. He threw rocks on him. Prahlad was remembering Krishna and he was not hurt. He put him directly in fire. And Prahlad remembered Krishna and he was not hurt. And Prahlad never thought, my father is my enemy. Never thought, my father is my enemy. He was simply equipoised. He remained the well-wisher of his father. He was given poison to eat. He was put in severe cold. He was put in strong winds. And Prahlad simply remembered Krishna and remained equipoised and the well-wisher of his father. At that point, Hiranyakashipu became a little frightened, actually. And he thought, how is it I did all these austerities to be immortal, but it looks like the person who's immortal is my son. And it looks like not only that, but that I can't harm him at all. Here's this little boy, my own son, who seems to be more powerful than me. And he was quite frightened. He didn't know what to do. And Sundanamarca said, you know, he's just a little boy. He'll grow out of it. Is that ridiculous or what? You know, just send him back to school. We'll deal with him. So Hiranyakashipu didn't know what else to do, so he sent him back to school. Well, formally, when Prahlad went to school, he just focused himself on Krishna. He just, in his own internal state, was detached from his teacher's instructions and focusing on Krishna. Well, just imagine, okay, so you're there focusing on Krishna at your work or at your school that's really demoniac, and then somebody tries to kill you like 15 different ways, and none of them work. Would you become a little emboldened? Would you feel very courageous? Huh? If someone tried to kill you just for being Krishna conscious and none of it would work?
Yeah.
Well, if you, you know, why don't you go all out then? Huh? Why not, right? What do you have to lose? So this time, Prahlad wasn't just Krishna conscious himself, but he started making all the other students Krishna conscious. He told them how Narada Muni had preached to his mother at Narada's ashram, and that he had heard in the womb. And he explained how we're not this body. And just like in this life, we're a little child, we grow up a little bit more, teenager, youth, middle age, old, but we're the same person. In the same way, we move to another body at death. And he explained the whole science of reincarnation and the nature of the gross and the subtle body and the nature of the soul. And then he says one of my favorite quotes. One is happy as long as one does not endeavor for happiness. As soon as one begins his activities for happiness, his condition of distress begins. Interesting, huh? In other words, we're already happy. Anandamaya Vyasat. Happiness is within us. We are Satchitananda Vigraha. We are full of joy. But as soon as we go looking for happiness outside of ourselves, outside of our relationship with Krishna, all we meet is distress. And he says the most dear person is that who is within you and within all living entities. The super soul, the soul of the soul. What is most dear to each of us is ourselves. But Krishna is the self of the self. So he is the most dear. And he controls everything. He is the most dear to us, and we are the most dear to him. Right? Bhaktiram yagatapasam sarvalokam hesham suvidam sarvabhutanam. Not from shanti michiti. One gets peace when one knows that there's someone who controls everything who's my best friend. If you know that I have the best friend who's the supreme controller, do I have to worry about anything? I mean, even if the queen was your best friend, you wouldn't have so much anxiety. What to speak if the king of the whole universe is your best friend? And this is another wonderful quote. Prabhupada says, that Prahlad says, in the same favorable way that one sees himself and takes care of himself, take to devotional service to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just like we have deity worship. So every day, I hope, we do things like brush our teeth, right? I hope you all do. Comb your hair. Except for the brahmacharis. Put on some nice clothes, take a shower, right? Make sure you have nice food to eat. Make sure you have a nice place to stay. But you have your little gizmos that some of you are playing with, your little toys there. So why not take care of the Supreme Self like that? Give the Supreme Self a bath and nice clothes and nice food and whatever he wants for his pleasure. Then he becomes satisfied. Well, Hiranyakashipu found out that Prahlad was preaching to the other students. And now he's furious beyond furious. Not only was Prahlad preaching to him, and not only was Prahlad meditating on Vishnu, but now, as far as he's concerned, the way he sees the world, Prahlad is not only his enemy, but Prahlad's going to make everyone else his enemy too. Prahlad's going to turn all the children of the demons against him. And you know, if you want to control society, just go for the children. That's a little hint. That's a little advert. If you want to change society, you do it at the level of the children. So Prahlad Maharaj, he's preaching to the children. Pretty soon those children would grow up and they'd want to overthrow Hiranyakashipu. So now he's so angry. He's lost his intelligence. He's forgotten. I already tried to kill my son in 15 different ways. It didn't work. And pretty heavy-duty ways, too. But he's also a little scared. Remember, he's scared. And he's thinking, okay, if I can't kill Prahlad, let me kill the source of his power. He must be getting power from somewhere, huh? You ever have a machine you're working with and it just won't turn off? You ever have one of those? Sometimes that happens. Some, like some program you're running and it just won't stop. Happened the other day with something. It just wouldn't stop. And then you just have to turn off the power, yes?
Yes.
So whoever's blocking that, you have gorgeous hair, but if you could move a little bit. So Hiranyakashipu's thinking, if I can't kill Prahlad, let me pull his plug. Now, by the way, when Hiranyakashipu was doing things like cutting down trees, not personally, of course, engage others in cutting down trees and burning agricultural fields and stopping sacrifices and killing cows and all this kind of stuff, his reason for doing that is he thought all these things support Lord Vishnu. And if I destroy these things, I will kill Vishnu. That's what he was thinking. He's a pretty smart guy in the sense that he thinks I'm going to get right to the root of my problem. Of course, he's pretty foolish in that, A, he couldn't kill Vishnu. Second of all, Vishnu was the root of himself, too. If he could pull the plug, which he couldn't, he'd be pulling the plug on himself. He thought he was independent. So then Prahlad speaks this verse to his father that we said at the beginning. Do not discriminate in your heart between enemies and friends. Make your mind equipoise towards everyone, except for the uncontrolled and misguided mind. There is no enemy within this world. If a person is victorious over the six enemies, lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and jealousy, and is equipoised towards all living entities, for him there are no enemies. Enemies are merely imagined by one in ignorance. So Prahlad keeps trying to give his father good advice. Hiranyakashipu keeps trying to harm Prahlad, and Prahlad keeps trying to help Hiranyakashipu, because Prahlad does not see him as an enemy. But Hiranyakashipu's not listening. Where is the source of your power? Where is your God? Well, he's everywhere. Sarvagatam Brahma. Everywhere, huh? You're right. I'm sure he's everywhere. Like he's in this pillar, right? If he's not in this pillar, I'm going to kill you, Prahlad. What a ridiculous thing to say. He already knew he couldn't do that. But anyway, he said he's going to do that, and he takes his fist and bangs it against the pillar. At which point, there was a great sound that vibrated all over the universe. And this great sound that vibrated all over the universe, it shook all of the planets, even up to Lord Brahma's planet. And the demigods thought, now our planets will be destroyed. You don't have to mess with the volume. I have it set for each thing. So if you turn it up and down, you're actually going to mess with my thing. Okay? Just put it back to where we set it at the beginning. Otherwise, you're going to... Yeah, okay. And after this big sound, they're all looking around. Where is the sound? What is it? What is it from? Then Lord Vishnu bursts out of the pillar. And Hiranyakashipu sees Nrisimhadeva. He says, who is that? What is that? What is this half man, half lion? Huh. Maybe it's Lord Vishnu who's made this plan to kill me. But what would be the use of such an attempt? Nobody could fight with me. Then Lord Nrisimhadeva, with his arms, which resembled flanks of soldiers, spread in all directions as he killed the demons, rogues, and atheists with his conch shell disc, club, lotus, and other natural weapons. And Hiranyakashipu is standing and watching this. Does he come to his senses?
No.
When all of our material plans don't give us the happiness and satisfaction and peace that we want, do we come to our senses and say, I want to surrender to Krishna, or do we go on making the same plans? So then Hiranyakashipu attacked. When he attacked, by the way, that's an untouched photograph of Lord Nrisimhadeva in Mayapur. Not Photoshop, not anything. When Hiranyakashipu attacked, the effulgence of the Lord was so great that Hiranyakashipu became invisible, like a tiny insect in the sunlight. Then Lord Nrisimhadeva captured Hiranyakashipu along with his club, just like Garuda might capture a snake. He's just holding him there. Then he lets him go, just like Garuda might play with the snake. And the demigods, remember Hiranyakashipu had taken over all of their abodes and conquered all of them, so they were a little afraid. And when Lord Nrisimhadeva let Hiranyakashipu go for a minute, they became scared. Sometimes we think like this, now we have problems in our life, and finally Krishna seems to save us, and then it looks like maybe he's not going to save us. Oh God, isn't going to save me. They became perturbed. Then Lord Nrisimhadeva is attacking Hiranyakashipu, who's coming at him with sword and shield. And Hiranyakashipu is flying sometimes in the sky and sometimes in the earth. But although he's attacking with his sword and his shield, his eyes are closed while he's attacking because he's afraid of Nrisimhadeva's laughter. And boy, do I wish I could have a recording of Nrisimhadeva's laughter. Lord Kapiladeva talks about meditating on the form of the Lord going up from the lotus feet to the top. And at the end he said, and then one should meditate on the laughter of the Lord. And finally, Lord Nrisimhadeva roared and carried Hiranyakashipu to the doorway during the twilight. And then, very easily, with the tips of his fingernails, which are not weapons, he bifurcated the demon, Hiranyakashipu, who was killed in the doorway, not inside or outside. At the twilight, which is not day or night, not as a man or as an animal, not as a human, not as a demigod, with his nails, which are not alive or dead. And he pulled out Hiranyakashipu's heart and threw it away. And then he took the intestines of the demons and put them on like a garland. Prabhupada said, if you want to enjoy the ghastly rasa, then you can worship the Nrisimhadeva. Then the Nrisimhadeva killed Hiranyakashipu's soldiers. His breathing agitated the seas and the oceans. And because of the presence of his feet, all the hills and the mountains sprang up due to his great force. But he was still angry. And the demigods offered various prayers, mostly, thank you that we have our powers back. Thank you that we have our opulences back. Thank you that we don't have any anxiety anymore. And none of them could pacify the Lord. And the demigods then pushed Lakshmi Devi. You go. And she said, no. Then they said, what are we going to do? The Lord was still angry despite all the attempts of all of the demigods. Then Lord Brahma said, Prahlad, you go to Nrisimhadeva. And then the Lord became peaceful. And he put his hand on the head of Prahlad, which then freed Prahlad from any material contamination. Prahlad was experiencing great ecstasy and crying. And he said, my Lord, you don't put your hand on the head of Lord Shiva or even Lakshmi, but you put your hand on my head. go back and try that again. No, second. Oh, well. Prahlad in ecstasy with the touch of the Lord's hand on his head. Then Lord Nrsingadev put Prahlad upon his lap, and Prahlad said, I'm not afraid of your ferocious mouth and tongue, your eyes bright like the sun, or your frowning eyebrows. I do not fear your sharp, pinching teeth, your garland of intestines, your mane soaked with blood, or your high wedge-like ears, nor do I fear your tumultuous roaring or your nails, which are meant to kill your enemies. I don't want to be liberated alone. I want to bring everyone back to your lotus feet. Lord Nrsingadev said, I want to offer you something. It's my pastime to give benedictions. All of us like giving gifts, huh? And Prahlad said, I'm not a merchant. I haven't worshipped you to get something. But if you insist, then please remove any material desires from my heart, and please forgive my father. Prahlad said, my father committed grievous sinful activities against you and against me. Please let him be liberated from his demoniac mentality without punishment. This is the view we should take towards our so-called enemies. May you be happy. May you be happy. May you be happy. To be the well-wisher, Prabhupada would sign his letters, your ever-well-wisher. To be the well-wisher of everyone. Prahlad has a nice prayer. May all envious persons in the universe be pacified. Whether someone is our so-called friend or our so-called enemy, if one thinks, may you be happy. May you be happy. May you come to peace. May you come to spiritual realization. Then we will not have any anxieties and no sense of false friends and enemies. And then Lord Nrsingadev says, I want you to enjoy the opulences of the demons in this world. Be the king of the demons. What an interesting service, huh? So then Nrsingadev disappeared, and Lord Brahma crowned Prahlad as the king of the demons. Nrsingadev ki! So really, Krishna is our only friend. We can say others are our friends if they help us to find Krishna, but really, who can hurt us? We are an eternal soul that cannot be harmed by anything. Therefore, there's no question of anyone being our enemy. And if we say a person is a friend who helps bring me to Krishna, we can see anything that happens to us as bringing us closer to Krishna if we allow it to do so. Therefore, even our so-called enemies can be actually our friends. Suppose we were really equipoised. Suppose we were the well-wishers of everyone. Having faith in the Lord as our protector, what would our lives look like? What would they feel like? What kind of peace would we have in our heart? Singadev Bhagavan ki, Bhad Maharaj ki, Singh Prabhupada ki, Lord Premananda.